You are listening to Radio Aryan.
Welcome to Aryan Britannia. Today's date is Monday the 29th of April 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAryan.com. Well, I apologise for Max Musson not being here today. Hopefully he will be back with us next week. So you've just got a monologue from myself today, but of course we will be breaking halfway through for a bit of music. And there really hasn't been that much news over the last week, really, to talk about. And there often isn't very much news to talk about in Britain to do with ethno-nationalists. It really does seem that the populists, the civic nationalists, are really leading the way over here. And that's also happening elsewhere in Europe as well. And I do think we've got a lot of ethno-nationalists that are supporting these civic nationalists, because they're the only people that are actually doing anything. They are the only people that are actually achieving anything. And you do have to weigh up the popularity of somebody and how many people they get behind them. And you have to weigh that up with their idealism and how close they actually are to ethno-nationalism. And the way these civic nationalists are being attacked is just shocking, the way that they're being smeared and lied about. And this is a good thing for us, because people can see that they're not extremists and they see what the press says about them. And it really hammers it home to the general person and the general members of public just how much they are being lied to by the newspapers. I mean, just if you think about the Daily Mail and the Daily Express, both of those will highlight black-on-white crimes. They will highlight terrorism. They will highlight Islamic crimes. And yet, any time anybody speaks up about that, they will be attacked. They'll be called far-right extremists. They'll be called neo-Nazis, white supremacists, because those papers are all... It's all a scam. It's all a scam. They are really controlled opposition. They masquerade as being right-wing papers, and they're described as right-wing papers on the news and on the television. But in reality, they're just gatekeepers. They give the impression that somebody is taking notice of what's going on, but then they will attack anybody that actually tries to do anything about it. And this is one of the reasons why it's been so much enjoying Sargon of Akkad's campaign to be a Euro MP. And I had somebody ask me the other day in the chat room about why I was now supporting him, because we have criticised him in the past. And one thing that they brought up, they said, well, he's not white, is he? Because he said that his grandfather was black. And there's always been a question over this. He did say quite some time back that his grandfather was from the Congo and that he was black. But I think maybe his grandfather did live in the Congo, but I'm not so certain his grandfather was actually a Negro. There was a video that Sargon put out that showed his parents, and they certainly didn't look mulattoes, and he doesn't really look like he's a mulatto. I suspect that he said that he was black to try and shut down the conversation. I mean, the guy is very smug, and he is very annoying at times. I mean, I couldn't sit there and watch one of his videos. But seeing him deal with journalists in the way that he is, I'm quite impressed with that. And also, the way that he is being attacked, as I say, if anybody checks out his work, they will see that he is just a liberal. He's a centre-right liberal, as he describes himself. And yet he's the devil incarnate, according to the newspapers. And just their hysteria alone is enough to have me in stitches. And we'll get into some of the things that they've been saying about him in a minute. Other accusations against him, he's anti-Christian and he's anti-white nationalists. Okay, he's not a white nationalist, but he's quite happy to talk to ethno-nationalists. He's had Jared Taylor on his show. He's had a debate, I think, with Andrew Anglin. He's had Millennial Woes on there. He's quite friendly with people like Millennial Woes. I'm sure he's quite friendly with people like Mark Cullert. So what is the point in making enemies out of people that are friendly to us? People that are quite happy to share their platform with us, quite happy to talk to us, quite happy to have a debate with us. I mean, this is the way that we can reach people. I mean, the supporters of Sargon of Akkad, they're our target audience. They are people that are already questioning political correctness. They're questioning what is going on in the world around us. And so long as we don't make enemies out of them, quite a few of them will end up becoming ethno-nationalists, and they will end up becoming part of the alt-right. The alt-right and the civic nationalists, they really are just stepping stones to get to where we are. So there's really little point in making enemies out of them. And as I say, it's been very, very entertaining so far watching Carl Benjamin's campaign for a start. And this article that I wanted to bring up, this came out last week, and it just had me in stitches, the wording. It begins with, Twitter has banned the Euro election campaign accounts of UKIP candidate Carl Benjamin and far-right extremist Tommy Robinson. Tommy Robinson, they call a far-right extremist. I mean, that is just absolute hysteria there. Tommy isn't an extremist. He's not far-right. He's not an ethno-nationalist. He has a freedom of speech day where he has transvestite drag queens and he has a flamboyant homosexual speaking. I mean, this isn't somebody who is on the far right. This isn't somebody that says that homosexuality needs to be banned. This is somebody that welcomes all of that, somebody that welcomes multiculturalism. I mean, the guy is the furthest away from far-right extremism that you could possibly get, and yet the Mirror calls him that. And as I say, this is wonderful for the general public to read things like this, because they support Tommy Robinson. We're going to talk a little bit about him later on, but he's also campaigning as a Euro MP, and the Daily Mail have attacked him in a newspaper piece today, and every single one of the comments is positive. Every single one is supporting him. As we know, the pressure to be part of the crowd is very strong. The pressure to be part of the crowd is quite immense to go along with the herd. And the herd support Tommy Robinson. And these journalists are encouraging that support by lying, because they just prove that everything that he says is right. And it just proves that they are just trying to censor the political opposition. That's what Tommy Robinson is. That's what Carl Benjamin is. That's what they represent. To use the wording that Sargon has used, principled opposition. They are the opposition to the ruling establishment. And we're told we have a democracy, and this is why democracy is of such benefit to us, is because we get to hear all voices, and the most popular voices, they get voted in on this level playing field where we supposedly have free speech. And all that is being shown to be a pack of lies, because anybody that is a part of the opposition gets censored and smeared and lied about. And the days when the press could get away with that are long gone. Continuing with this article from the Mirror, which is a very, very far left news site. They say UKIP today refused to dump Benjamin after a video emerged of him using a variety of racial slurs. Why would they dump him? Why would any political party dump the person that they have already vetted and put forward as a candidate? I mean, the fact that Labour and Conservatives, and particularly the Conservatives, if the left leans on them and says that somebody that works for the Conservatives has said something politically incorrect, they just fold, they just collapse and kick that person out of the party. And that's pathetic, absolutely pathetic. And it means that people look at that and say, well, if your leadership is not going to stand by you, why should we support them? If your leadership is not going to be honourable and support the people that they want to put forward into the limelight, then why on earth should we support them? They're obviously dishonest. They're dishonourable. And the Mirror obviously thought that that was all they were going to have to do is show Gerard Batten something that Carl Benjamin had said years ago, and Batten would instantly drop him and say, oh, we don't want anything to do with that. And all credit to Gerard Batten for not doing that. He's refused to drop Sargon because obviously they've gone through his stuff, and he knows that this guy is a YouTube entertainer and he makes politically incorrect jokes. And he hopes by making the politically incorrect jokes to get people thinking just about why we have this political correctness and how it censors us and how it encourages us to censor ourselves. So obviously the press are furious that each time they throw these slurs out that Gerard Batten refuses to disavow, as it were. I mean, they've come out with even worse ones today that we'll get into at the end of where we're talking about this here. But this video, apparently he used a variety of racial slurs. Benjamin, a vlogger who calls himself Sargon of Akkad, had already been banned from Twitter in 2017 for violating the platform's rules on targeted abuse. And as we know, when I was banned from Twitter, they accused me of targeted abuse, and you know, I've certainly never targeted anybody. I don't think I tagged anybody into conversations. And the Twitter account was actually locked so that only our followers could view our tweets. So this targeted abuse nonsense is just an excuse that they use to target abuse against the person who actually runs that account. They've abused Sargon, basically, by shutting down his account. Robinson, whose real name is Stephen Yaxley Lennon, was permanently banned in March 2018 for violating its rules on hateful conduct. And that was because Tommy said that the majority of grooming gang rapes in Britain are carried out by majority Muslim Pakistani men. And he was citing what Sajid Javid, the Home Secretary, had said. That was all Tommy was doing. And he was banned for hateful conduct for doing that because, of course, it's Tommy Robinson that said it. That's the reason why he was banned. Sajid Javid wouldn't be banned from saying it. But Tommy will, of course, because they want to silence Tommy. Benjamin rose to notoriety after tweeting a message to Labour MP Jess Phillips saying, I wouldn't even rape you. And we discussed that tweet last week. And basically, I mean, that's not even a threat. I mean, he's saying that he wouldn't rape someone, and yet they still portray it as if it was a rape threat. They call it the rape tweet. And basically, this Jess Phillips that he tweeted this at, she was laughing at the high rate of male suicide. She was asked on World Men's Day, it was mentioned to her, how about doing something for men and the disproportionate amount of men that are in prison and the disproportionate amount of men that commit suicide. And she just thought it was hilarious. She thought it was all a big joke. And that's why Sargon was angry at her in the first place. And of course, that's another positive thing that we could say about the guy. I mean, he does stand up for men's rights. And that is a part of traditionalism, that is part of natural law, is that men should be leading and women should be supporting. But a new account, which Benjamin claimed was not operated by him and was representing his campaign to be elected as an MP, has now been suspended by the social network. And apparently it wasn't operated by him. This was all done legitimately. Gerard Batten said this wasn't operated by him. This was a campaign account. This is a political account, and this is political meddling, basically. The account's biography read, account not operated by Carl Benjamin. So they've been quite obvious that this wasn't operated by him. This was a campaign account for somebody that is campaigning to be a minister of the European Parliament. And the Mirror say, but many of the tweets were written in the first person, apparently by Mr. Benjamin. Well, no, that doesn't mean that it was written by Carl Benjamin. It was operated by somebody else, and they're reporting what Carl Benjamin said. Perhaps they were reporting his quotes. If you own a Twitter account, of course you're going to be writing in the first person. You're not going to be writing about yourself, reporting on somebody as if you were somebody else. I mean, that would be very strange. A Twitter spokesperson said, "The account has been suspended for breach of our terms of service." And they were very careful not to actually breach any terms of service. The reason why they banned the account is because they banned Carl Benjamin years back. But he's now standing for a member of the European Parliament. So he's standing to be a politician. So this is direct meddling in democracy, in British elections. In a tweet from the party's official account, UKIP said, "Official UKIP MEP campaign account at Carl UKIP, of which Carl Benjamin has no access to, has been suspended from Twitter. This is election interference, and UKIP will get to the bottom of this." UKIP defended Benjamin earlier today after a since-deleted 2015 video emerged showing him repeatedly using the words "nigger" and "spick." Well, so what? And without even having watched the video, I can say now that he wouldn't have been using those words just casually in conversation. He would have been using them in a specific context. He will have been using them perhaps even in referring to something else that he was quoting, or just using the words like I did just then. It's quite possible to use words like that without them actually being used in a racist kind of way, if you want to use that terminology. I mean, these are English words. They are words in the English language. And when you think about it, the word "nigger" was never used in a negative term in Britain. We never had any black slaves in Britain. There never were any slaves that were called nigger. It was an endearing term. When you think about what's that film, Escape to Victory, I think it is, and they've got a dog there, and the dog is called nigger. It's a friendly term. It's a friendly name that people used to use for their pets. And as Simon Shepherd has pointed out, you could have a good nigger. You could have somebody who works like a nigger, but you certainly can't have a good racist or somebody that works like a racist. There's no way that the term racist can ever be used in a positive or a neutral sense. And yet white people are called that all the time. That's perfectly acceptable. So he's guilty of using forbidden words. And even worse, Gerard Batten appears to support his use of these forbidden words. The vlogger also repeatedly described two people as a fag and a retard, and used an apparent anti-Semitic meme in the clip. I mean, why do they think people are going to be interested in this? This guy is campaigning to be a member of the European Parliament. What does the language that he used 2 or 3 years ago in an entertainment video have to do with how well he is going to represent people in Parliament? And do they really think that the sort of people that read newspapers don't use language like this themselves? Do they think people don't use the word fag or retard? I mean, it's a very, very common phrase to say something is retarded. And the American terminology of fag, meaning faggot, that's become very commonly used as well. Teenagers often used to use the word gay to talk about things that were in a negative sense. I mean, this is just normal language that everyday people use. So when they say things like this, what they're saying is, Carl Benjamin is exactly the same as you are. So this will have the opposite effect that they're hoping for. I mean, this will cause people to think, great, I want to support this guy. And it's a great shame, actually, that he's up against Dan Widdicombe. I really do think that is, if Nigel Farage wanted to really split the vote, then he's done a great way of doing it there. I mean, Anne Widdicombe is a very, very big free speech campaigner herself. I mean, I've seen her on the television explaining why it is that we mustn't ever have Holocaust denial laws in Britain, and that people must be free to say whatever it is that they want to say. And I dare say if Sargon wasn't actually standing in this election, he would probably be voting for Anne Widdecombe himself. And the fact that she is of such stature, I mean, he's going to have to go some way to actually beat her. I mean, I was fairly certain that Sargon would get voted in just because he's got so many followers. But then you put him against somebody like Anne Widdecombe, who is essentially standing for the same things that he is. I mean, she stands for free speech. Maybe she's not as up to date on the way that the EU's new internet law is going to curtail that, but she is certainly a big free speech campaigner, which is what his platform is really on. You know, he's against political correctness. Well, so is Anne Widdecombe. So Nigel really has, you know, he's really attacking Sargon with everything that he's got by putting Anne Widdecombe up against him. And continuing back to with this article here, the vlogger also repeatedly described two people as a fag and a retard and used an apparently anti-Semitic meme in the clip. I wonder what that was. And I wonder what that was referring to. And he said it was just effing fine to describe an Asian woman as a chink. Well, here in Britain, everybody calls the Chinese takeaway the chinky. I don't know anybody that doesn't call the Chinese takeaway the chinky. Calling Chinese chinks. What's wrong with that? What is wrong with having a nickname for people? What's wrong with having a friendly nickname? It doesn't mean that you're really anti them. I mean, if you wanted to come out with a word that was negative about Asian people, there are lots of words that you could use, but chink isn't offensive. It's just shortening the word Chinese and putting a K at the end of it. Chinky chong. It's like the word Paki. That's not offensive. I mean, Pakis call each other Paki. And there is a famous magazine in Pakistan that's called The Paki. All these words have been made into politically incorrect words, so-called racist words, just so that they can be used to beat the white man over the head with, just so that they can attack white people with them. And they particularly catch out older people who haven't had rigorous brainwashing in political correctness like today's people, young people have been, and it's particularly harsh on them. So this is great that he's refusing to back down and that he's using language like this. Anti-fascist group Hope Not Hate, who really should be renamed Hoping for Hate, which obtained the video, said the appalling slurs showed the mask has slipped. I mean, Hope Not Hate really don't know how to respond to this, do they? I mean, what mask? What mask are they talking about? When has Sargon ever pretended that he was politically correct? The mask has slipped. It hasn't slipped at all. It's that's exactly what he has said right from the beginning. He's refused to back down. He's refused to apologise about his tweets. But apparently the mask has slipped. David Lammy, Labour MP, we can always depend on him to say something silly. He said, this is an ideology of hate. It must be confronted and defeated. So Sargon now has his own ideology, does he? An ideology of hate that he is promoting? And he's just promoting free speech and anti-political correctness. But apparently he has a whole ideology of hate that he is pushing, and David Lammy's going to confront it and defeat it. I mean, David Lammy's got to be one of the most hateful politicians of all. I mean, he calls Jacob Rees-Mogg and Boris Johnson, he calls them Nazis, and says that they must be deplatformed. And the only time he really gets up and says anything is in defence of blacks. You'll never hear him defending white people. He hates white people. A real hypocrite, David Lammy is. Yet today, an apparently unrepentant Benjamin said people who had been offended can go away and have a cry. As I say, it's just entertaining reading this and entertaining reading his responses, because they are just not used to this. The journalists are not used to this. They don't know what to say about it. So they just have to pretend things like, oh, he's trying to cover this up. The mask has slipped. Well, what has Benjamin got to be repentant about? What should he be saying sorry for? The guy is an entertainer. This is entertainment that he has put on YouTube. There was a time when comedy all used to be very edgy. That was the reason for it, was to make you laugh. And there was a time when we had a fine tradition of racist comedy that would really have you rolling in the aisles to hear it. And these comedians would travel around the men's clubs. They'd be very famous. They'd be interviewed on television. I mean, we had great racist comedies in sickness and in health. Alf Garnett and others, and they were great British treasures. And it wasn't looked at as they were doing something terribly wrong, terribly nasty. They were just having a friendly joke. I mean, we have always joked about foreigners. I mean, the most famous British joke of all begins with an Englishman, an Irishman, and a Scotsman, and pokes fun at the differences between the Englishman, the Irishman, and the Scotsman. It's just natural to do this. And of course, the ideology of today looks at everything that white people do as if it's a pathology, and it must be stopped, and it must be made illegal, and it must be beaten out of us. We must be locked up if we be our natural selves and make jokes about foreigners. And they're never done in a nasty way. I mean, we wouldn't be making jokes about them if we had nasty feelings. We would be, you know, calling for horrible things to be done to them rather than making jokes about them or having affectionate names for them. UKIP defended Benjamin as a YouTube entertainer, fighting political correctness before telling the Mirror he will remain on the UKIP ticket. Brilliant. And as I say, they have now gone one step further in attacking him, and we'll get onto that in a minute. But that was the report on it from the Mirror. And if you look at RT, they're reporting on the same story, but you get some extra information from them. And first off, we actually get a comment from Benjamin's campaign staffer, Michael Delebrock, who said, "We are investigating why, but strongly suspect this is a deliberate act of political censorship to deny a candidate his voice in a crucial election." And he adds that the campaign will be complaining to the election authorities and maybe even seeking restitution in court for political interference by a foreign entity in our elections. And they say Benjamin has come under attack by the media and establishment politicians who have accused him of racist speech. The YouTuber maintains he fights for free speech and against political correctness. I mean, this is fairly even-handed. This is a point that I think we need to understand. This is even-handed reporting that we're not actually getting in the mainstream British press. Mainstream media have described Robinson as a far-right activist and accused him of Islamophobia. He was banned from Facebook and Instagram in February over alleged hate speech. And again, I don't know how you could call him a far-right activist. The guy's just against political correctness. He's not against degeneracy. I mean, when you think far-right, normally you think, well, National Socialist, Nazi. Even though the National Socialists weren't right or left. But that is what you think of. And he's certainly not any of them, but that's what they're going to call him anyway. And guess who it was that is taking credit for getting him banned? British Muslim organisation Tell Mama has claimed credit for reporting Robinson's campaign account to Twitter, saying it's using the candidacy to circumvent his personal ban. So as far as Tommy Robinson is concerned, a Muslim organisation, they're the ones that are interfering in our democracy and getting these accounts banned. I dare say it was probably Hope Not Hate that got Sargon's account banned, but that could have been Tell Mama as well. So where do these Muslims get off with interfering in our elections? The purge of MEP candidates comes just 3 days after Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey went to the White House and met with US President Donald Trump to address complaints about shadow banning and suspensions disproportionately targeting conservative voices on the social media platform. So he went in there to talk about exactly what they have done to Sargon and Tommy. While Twitter and other social media platforms have defended censorship on grounds that they are companies and not the government, last year a federal judge in the United States ruled that Twitter is a designated public forum and that Trump is not allowed to block people from his personal account on grounds of political speech. Well, if Trump is not allowed to block people from his personal account because Twitter is a public forum, how can Twitter block politicians from actually, or politicians' accounts reporting on them when they're standing for election? I mean, something's got to be done about this. I think these accounts could very possibly be reinstated. But as I say, they've actually gone one step further now. And today in the newspapers, they're accusing Sargon of approving of the rape of little boys. And this is the level that they have stooped to. They've thrown everything else they could possibly think of at him, and now they're accusing him of supporting pedophilia. This is Gerard Batten's response to that. Not Carl's, this is Gerard Batten here. He says this is part of the MSM smear campaign. These were fabricated tweets, and it was proved at the time 4 years ago. Either the Mail doesn't care, or they didn't check. Carl will be suing the Mail. The mainstream media must be worried about UKIP to be doing this. Vote UKIP, 2nd and 23rd of May. And also, apparently, these reports that they've got in the press today, apparently they were screenshots, and the Mail have handed over a dossier to the police. And all this was dealt with 4 years ago, and it was all faked. And again, the bits of it that weren't faked were bits of Sargon quoting somebody else. I mean, this is a lot of what they will do. If you're quoting somebody else and not even actually giving an opinion on it, then they will report that as if that was what you've said. I mean, they did that to us. They did that to us at Radio Aryan. They reported the contents of one of the narrations that I did, as if that was something that I was saying when it wasn't. It was a narration. It was an audio book that's available at Amazon, and the picture that goes with that. Anyway, we've gone a little bit over halfway here, so it's time for a bit of music, I think. And I think it's been quite a while since we had any National Socialist black metal on here, so you might want to turn this down if you're of a bit of a nervous disposition. This is Ordensburg with Wieder Tod nach Tufall, and I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Stay your life.
Okay, welcome back. If you enjoyed that little bit of music there, that was a band called Ordensburg. That was actually the title track from their album Vida Todd Knock Tufel, and I'm probably butchering that pronunciation. If you do like that sort of music, do check out Eternal Reich's Audio Insurgency that we have here on Tuesdays at Radio Arium, playing all the latest nationalist tunes for you in the company of Eternal Reich. Anyway, before we had our music break, I was pointing out the hysterical language that gets used by the press when talking about these alt-right civic nationalist populist celebrities, because they are internet celebrities. They are alternative celebrities, I guess you could call them. And this is a good thing, because it's kind of like the little boy that calls wolf, and he calls wolf so many times that when he calls out wolf, when there really is a wolf, nobody comes out and does anything, and the wolf gets all the sheep. And it's kind of like that, really, because they are accusing people like Tommy, people like Carl, of being far-right extremists when they're not. And of course, then they put people go and check out their content, and they realise that they're being lied to, that they've been lied to by the press. And this is a good thing. I mean, they've said the same about us. They've said this about Radio Arium, neo-Nazis, white supremacists. Of course, we do support National Socialist economic theory. We do support National Socialist spiritual theory. And we make no bones about that. And when the press feature us like that, and when they call us all these names, people do come to our website to check us out, and they realise that, well, actually, these guys are no different to my grandparents. Actually, these guys are pretty good. They're against alcoholism. They're against usury. They just want to put their country first. They just want to put their people first. They're worried about degeneracy. They're worried about the next generation not being able to afford its own homes, not being able to get a job, not being able to get good schooling. And they can see that this problem is caused by immigration. Well, hang on a minute. Maybe those National Socialists weren't so bad after all. Maybe we fought the wrong enemy in World War II. And that can all lead on from them people, just general members of the public, reading this nonsense, calling people like Tommy Robinson and Carl Benjamin far-right extremists, neo-Nazis. I haven't actually seen Benjamin called a neo-Nazi yet, but I'm fairly certain that we will. And this next news story that I've got here is about Tommy Robinson. Now, last week, Tommy Robinson announced on Thursday that he would be standing for a member of the European Parliament in the Northwest. Fantastic news. It's a great shame that he's not standing for Parliament on the UKIP ticket, and that is a real shame. Gerard Batten really missed a trick there, not having Tommy Robinson standing for Euro MP on the UKIP ticket. I mean, he's had, 17,000 new members since he took charge. And if he'd put Tommy Robinson forward, he would have had another 17,000 members at least. And you think all the support that Tommy has, I do think he's going to win this. He's standing in the Northwest. He's standing somewhere where he is very, very popular. And that would mean that UKIP had another MEP, basically. It's a great shame that he's not standing for UKIP. And I don't really understand why Gerard Batten didn't do something about that. I know that it says in the Constitution that if you've been a member of EDL or BNP, you can't be a member of UKIP. But Tommy Robinson was the founder member of the EDL. He was the founder of it rather than a member of it. So, I mean, maybe they could have argued that. Maybe they could have had that vote that Tommy was suggesting, that they had a democratic vote over whether to allow him into the party or not. It's a great shame anyway that he's going to be standing as an independent. But I think he's been doing a great job of it so far. If you look at his political broadcast, I almost said party political broadcast there, but of course he's standing as an independent, and his platform is that he won't take a salary from this. Every penny that he's given, he will give to the victims of the grooming gangs, which is wonderful to hear. And I think he will be very popular where he's standing, because it is a part of the country that has suffered very, very badly from these grooming gangs. And it's an area where he is very popular himself. I believe it's the area where Nick Griffin actually won his seat, apparently. And I've got a report here. This is from the Metro. This is what they have to say about it. And of course, it's not really about Tommy Robinson at all. It's all about the leftists and how much they hate the fact that there is opposition to their leftism. A campaign to stop Tommy Robinson from becoming an MEP has been launched within hours of him announcing his intention to stand. Well, hang on a minute. This is an election. Surely, if you don't want him to stand, you need to be putting forward another politician. And surely it's the issues that the politicians are standing on, or the would-be politicians are standing on. That's what matters, isn't it? Not the person. Surely it's prejudicial to be discriminating against Tommy Robinson, the person, like this. What are the platforms that he's standing on that they disagree with? Do they think that all the money shouldn't go to the victims of grooming? Well, this campaign, of course, has been set up by Stand Up to Racism, and they've said they will fight to keep the far-right activist out of the European Parliament and stop him using the platform to promote racism and Islamophobia. Now, every time you see Tommy Robinson interviewed, he is always making it quite clear that he's not a racist. I mean, you'll see the pictures of him with his black friends, his mixed race friends, and he'll be talking about what a wonderful multicultural utopia that Luton is. I mean, it's quite revolting to see sometimes, but there is no way that anybody can accuse him of being a racist. So once again, because there's this group calling themselves Stand Up to Racism and they're attacking him for racism, they completely discredit themselves. They completely discredit themselves in the eyes of the general public by doing that. And they just don't seem to be able to understand that. It's almost like they've been hit with a strong delusion. And this far right that they keep calling him, he's not far right at all. He's quite left wing in his ideas. And I don't think he's fearful of Islam either. He hasn't got an irrational fear of Islam. He just criticizes the religion itself. And once again, he's very clear about the fact that he is criticizing the religion and not the people in the religion. And of course, we hear criticism of Christianity all the time. We hear criticism of Hinduism, criticism of Buddhism. Why is it we can't criticize Islam? Why is it we can't criticize Judaism? Is it because Jews and Muslims are the people that are pulling the strings of the puppets in Westminster? It certainly does seem that way, doesn't it? Well, Wayman Bennett, one of the founders of the group, said Tommy Robinson, or his real name Stephen Yaxley-Lenin, because of course they always have to fit that in there, has been terrorizing the Muslim and black communities up and down the country. Where has he been terrorizing Muslim and black communities up and down the country? Where are the news reports on him mounting a terrorist campaign in Croydon or any of these other black areas? Where's he been terrorizing the Muslims in Rotherham? He hasn't been terrorizing anybody. I mean, all he's done is go to courtrooms where court cases have been held and reported on the court case, because it's been a case of interest to the British people, because it's been covered up by the mainstream media, because it's Muslims doing the raping in the grooming gangs in the trials that he's been reporting on. Is that terrorizing them? To report on their crimes? It only seems to be terrorizing it if it's Muslims that are being reported on. And what's this thing about black communities? I mean, I've never heard him speak anything that's anti-black. he's quite happy to have as many blacks here as will fit into the country, so long as they're not Muslim. So, of course, again, this just discredits this group in the eyes of the public. They don't seem to have realised that in the age of the internet, they can't get away with telling these lies anymore, because it's very easy for people to just look these people up on a search engine and hear what they have to say without it being filtered through these gatekeeper journalists. Wayman Bennett says he was a supporter of the Nazi BNP and he now wants to take the seat that Nick Griffin once had to carry on that tradition, the tradition that gave us the Holocaust that killed millions. Anti-Semite, he should have said 6 million there and he didn't. He just said millions. Well, I don't know about Tommy Robinson being a supporter of the Nazi BNP. I mean, he always said that, Tommy has always said, oh, the BNP are racist. We don't want anything to do with them. Don't want anything to do with Nazis like the BNP. So again, this is just a smear. And it's quite obviously a smear to the people that are reading this. They say this would be a tragedy if a fascist and Islamophobic criminal was able to gain the legitimacy of a seat. There you go, fascism. Where has Tommy Robinson ever talked about support for any brand of fascism? I mean, you could widen fascism. I mean, originally it was just Benito Mussolini's idea. But you could say that Codriano's Iron Guard and Adolf Hitler's National Socialism and Franco's government were all brands of fascism. You could say that they were brands of fascism. And where has Tommy Robinson ever spoken about any support for that? I mean, like the left, he himself uses the word fascist all the time as a negative term. I mean, he's always calling Islamists fascists and calling the left fascists, which again is a complete nonsense. I mean, the fascists fought against the communists. It's like when they call the left brown shirts. I mean, the brown shirts were an organization that was formed to prevent communist agitators from disrupting National Socialist meetings. They were formed to protect the nationalist speakers from the communists. And it is a great shame that they use the language of the left, these civic nationalists. So they really should get over that, because it's not historically accurate. But again, that may even play in our favour, because people that like Tommy Robinson, like the populists, and they hear them using this term fascist, they will look up what it means, and they'll realise that, well, hang on a minute, it actually meant that they fought against the communists. And hang on a minute, it's the communists that we're against. Maybe we should look into what these modern-day fascist organisations have to say, what these modern-day fascist speakers have to say. And again, because it discredits the populists to be using terminology like that. We shouldn't use the terminology of the left. This Wayman Bennett, the founder of Stand Up to Racism, he said, we have to, as a matter of extreme urgency, unite together to stop this. And of course, maybe that was a typo. Maybe it was just he didn't know what he was saying. Another founder, Sabi Dalu, said, Stephen Yaxley-Lennon is using the Euro elections as a platform to promote racism and Islamophobia. Where has Tommy Robinson ever promoted racism? I mean, he asks this of people that accuse him of that every time. Nobody can ever bring up any evidence of it. During these difficult times with the country divided over Brexit, we call on the people of the Northwest to reject this toxic politics of hate and use their vote to stop him getting elected as an MEP. Well, I think this is just going to encourage more people to vote for him, to be honest, and it's just going to discredit this group, Stand Up to Racism, just as an anti-white group, as an anti-British group that want to silence anyone that wants to actually stand up for the British people. And Tommy Robinson, he's a multiculturalist, And when he thinks of the British people, he just thinks of British citizens. He's just against the Islamization of the country, which in itself is a good thing. But you can hardly say that he's far right. He's an extremist. I mean, he really is a milquetoast nationalist, really, is the best thing that you can say about him. But he has a massive following, and he's drawing attention to these issues. And it will be a bloody nose and a black eye to the government if we can get him into the European Parliament. You know, we have to support him doing this. This is to our benefit for him to be in there. Robinson said he intended to stand in the northwest region of the UK for the European elections earlier today. He said his working class supporters would send the elite a message they'll never forget if he was elected on May the 23rd. And that's quite true. It will be a message that they will never forget. I mean, it's so offensive that they claim that he's been terrorizing Muslim and black communities. It's his family that gets terrorized. I mean, his family gets terrorized so much that there was a time when they had a panic button. I mean, they get terrorized so much, he gets the police going around there with what's called an Osman warning, warning Tommy that there are people out there that want to kill him. And he's the victim of the terrorizing campaigns, not Muslims and black communities. I mean, this is really shaping up to be one of the most enjoyable elections I think we've ever had in Britain, with all these characters that are on the main stage that are actually standing a chance of being voted in. It's all a hell of a lot of fun, and I really have been enjoying following it all anyway. And of course we will continue to follow it, and the election is on May the 23rd. So make sure you get out there and vote for some of these populists on that day. Well, I've got one final news story to bring up today. And this is just unbelievable. I just could not believe this when I saw the headline. There is no significant link between ethnicity and knife crime, but offenders and victims are mostly young adult males, police forces have been told. Can you believe that? They've done a study and they say there is no link between ethnicity and carrying a knife. Well, I can tell you this much. I live in an area that is 99% white and we don't have any knife crime. We don't have any knife crime at all. And then you can look at an area like London, which is only 40% white, and you've got dozens of knife crimes happening every day over there. Every day in London, there's a multitude of knife crimes that happen, not just knife crimes, machetes. I mean, that's a particular one that's particularly associated with Negroes, is machetes. I mean, how many white people in Britain are used to using a machete? None. We don't have any jungles in Britain that you need a machete to chop your way through. It's an African thing. It's an African thing. And they also did a study a while back, and they said, and this is the universities, and this was really, really trumpeted, that this was an amazing thing, that they were able to predict where knife crime was likely to occur. And the way that they had done this was to look at where knife crimes had occurred before. And if a knife crime had occurred in one area, then it was very highly likely that another knife crime was going to happen in that same area. But of course, they didn't actually work out what the reason for that might be. Why might it be that somewhere that actually has knife crime is likely to have more? Well, could it possibly be because the people that actually live in that area might be more likely to be involved in knife crime than people who live in other areas? That thought doesn't seem to have crossed their minds, because of course that thought would be racist. And the real frightening thing about this is that this report has actually been sent to the police. They say there is no significant link between ethnicity and carrying a knife, according to a briefing paper sent to every police force in England and Wales. Offenders and victims are most likely to be young adult males, with risk factors including exclusion from school, being taken into care, and childhood neglect, the College of Policing document says. I bet they didn't even look at ethnicity. I bet they looked at what age the offenders and victims were, obviously whether they were excluded from school, but the one thing they wouldn't have looked at was whether they were all non-white or not. And of course, if you are non-white, then yes, you are far more likely to be excluded from school, be taken into care, childhood neglect, la-di-da-di-da, all the other things that are associated with blacks, because they're different to whites. It also states knives are most commonly used for self-protection, street credibility, or to commit another offence. Well, there you have it, street credibility. I mean, what's that? Well, that's gangs. And this is gang behaviour. And where do you have the gangs? You have the gangs in the multicultural centres. And what is a gang? It's a suburban representation of the tribal mentality that we see in Africa, where you see tribes that fight among one another. That's all a street gang is. It's just a tribe that's been transported from the jungles of Africa into the concrete jungles of Europe. That's the only difference. The professional body for police says the briefing document is the first rounded picture using research that forces can use to tackle knife crime. And what do you think they would do if they did actually do a proper investigation and said, well, hang on a minute, this is all being carried out by blacks. How can we stop this? It's all being carried out by blacks. Well, you can't stop it because it's just what blacks do. So the best way thing that you can do is to try and cut down on the effects of it. Try and keep people that aren't likely to carry knives, try and keep them safe. You would think that would be the most sensible way to deal with this. And that could be quite easily done. You would just segregate the blacks to an area of all blacks and segregate the whites to an area of all whites. And then just see whether the amount of knife crime actually goes down in the area where the whites are, which I'm certain that it would. I mean, the knife crime might go up in the area where the blacks are, but probably not. I mean, they probably are even more agitated and more likely to stab people if they're living in a multicultural area. I mean, we discussed this a while back, myself and Max Mussum, about the fact that just if you are in a multicultural area and you have got different races there, then tempers are far more likely to get frayed, body language is far more likely to be misinterpreted, you haven't got that sense of community, and there is far more likely to be violence. So what you could do is you could just put the blacks in their own area and put the whites in another area, and that would cut down on the crime. But they can't do that. They've got to think up another excuse for why this happens. They have to say that, oh, it's because these kids got kicked out of school. That's why they've got no option but to stab one another. It's because they haven't got any ping pong tables or football tables or snooker tables at the local youth club. That's why they have to stab each other. It's not. It's just basic Negro behaviour. The paper sent to all 43 forces in England and Wales casts doubt on the deterrent effect of stop and search powers and long sentences. And this is an absolutely crazy document that they've got here. I mean, it's got to have been carried out by leftists that deliberately excluded all the information that that actually came out otherwise to what they were wanting to portray. I mean, how can they say long sentences is not a deterrent effect and stop and search is not a deterrent effect? When they had the stop and search powers, when the police were able to stop and search whoever they liked, instead of worrying about being accused of being a racist for stopping mainly young blacks, they didn't have half the knife crime that they have today. It's only since Theresa May took those stop and search powers away that knife crime has gone through the roof. And now they're experimenting with the old stop and search powers again in the worst knife crime areas, which are the most non-white areas. And they're hoping that that's going to prevent it. But according to this paper, oh, no, that's not going to work. And locking them up in prison isn't going to work. So what do they suggest the police do instead? It concludes that a public health approach, which has seen a reduction of violent crime in Scotland, is the most effective method for tackling knife crime. Yes, we're just going to have to pretend that it's an illness that these young people get. It's an illness that they get that causes them to stab one another, and we just need to find the right medicine, and that will cure them of it. I mean, what a load of nonsense. They say knife crime perpetrators and victims are most likely to be males in late adolescence. Yes, correct. Risk factors for serious violence and weapon carrying include adverse childhood experience and poor educational attainment. Yes, correct. And how is that linked to blacks, though? Of course, poor educational attainment. Blacks have a low average IQ. So, of course, they're not going to do very well at school. Blacks, a large proportion of blacks, I forget what it is, I think in America it's 80%, I think it's probably about 60% here, about 60% at least of blacks are brought up in broken homes without a father there. So that's your adverse childhood experience. But that's because they're black. It's not the adverse childhood experience that turns them black. It's not the poor educational attainment that turns them black. It's the fact that they are black. That's why they have these life experiences. And it's the same thing why they stab one another, just because they're black. They say ethnicity has been found to have no significant effect on weapon carrying in the UK. And that's contradicted by that sentence that we last looked at, isn't it, really? How can they say that ethnicity has no significant effect on it, on weapon carrying, if in the previous sentence they said that risk factors for serious violence and weapon carrying include adverse childhood experiences and poor educational attainment? Both things that are significantly affected by being black. The most successful approaches to reducing violence include well-implemented problem-solving and focused deterrence strategies. What do they mean there? Are they going to give them all jigsaw puzzles to play with? Maybe that will prevent them from killing one another. Deputy Chief Constable Bernie O'Reilly, director at the College of Policing, said, "Everyone in policing is deeply concerned about the increase in serious violence taking place on our streets and the danger this poses to the public and to the officers and to the staff." Well, they're deeply concerned about it, but they don't want to look at doing anything that might be portrayed as politically incorrect. And so long as they think like that and aren't prepared to actually look at the facts, it's just going to get worse, isn't it? He says, "To best tackle this, the police and others need to know what works, and just as importantly, what doesn't work." Well, I can point to something that works. Go and have a look at Iceland, which is still, 95% white, and see whether they have any knife crime over there. And look at what methods they have used to prevent it. Inadvertent methods, I would suggest, because they're not saying we don't want knife crime, so we don't want blacks coming over. It's just that it's so cold over there, the Negroes don't want to be there. An increased use of stop and search by police in a targeted way can have a short-term impact to reduce crime, but this must be balanced with maintaining public trust and confidence to ensure we do not undermine the strength in the service to build community relations. And what that is, that's all code, basically, for saying that it might upset the Negroes if we have stop and search, because they will feel that they are being stop and searched a lot more than white people. Yet the Negroes themselves have said, "We would rather have this." You know, the Negro parents have said, "We would far rather that you were stopping and searching our young people than not doing it out of some desire not to appear racist. I mean, we would rather our children were still alive than you worry about being called racist." They say the long-term solution is much more complex and broader than the police service. It requires committed leadership from multiple agencies who all have a responsibility to address this issue. And of course, now they're talking about actually blaming the teachers for it. They're talking about blaming the teachers if the kids start stabbing one another, because these teachers should have apparently worked out that the kids were going off on a wrong course before they actually get to the stage where they're selling drugs and stabbing one another. But once again, I mean, even if the teachers are pointing this out, the teachers are then going to be accused of being racist instead of the police being accused of being racist. I mean, maybe that's what the point of this this fake study is. So they can point to this and say, look, look, we've done a study and there's actually no link between race and violence. So if we are arresting more blacks for it, then that's just because they are committing more violence, I guess. Who knows? Anyway, I've gone a little bit over time here. So thank you very much for listening. I will be back next week, hopefully with Max Musson as well. And of course, I do hope you all have a great week ahead of you.
You are listening to Radio Aryan. For an alternative to the anti-white system on RadioAryan.com.